There will come a time where you will fight to hold on to this place of rest. You will not let sickness talk you out of the rest that you have in your healing through Jesus Christ. Don't let sickness talk you out of that.
God has instructed us from His Word to enter into the rest. Join Jeremy Pearson today as he brings instruction on how to stay in that place of rest, regardless of the circumstances surrounding you. Next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Jeremy Pearson, and it's been quite a joy for me the last several days, all last week and all this week, to be with you on this amazing broadcast. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to get to do that. I so appreciate my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, allowing me to come and just spend some time with you. Wherever you're watching this, wherever you're listening to this, if you're watching live or if it's, you know, in 2012, I don't know where you are right now, but I believe the presence of the Lord is with you. And we've been talking about living in a place called rest. As a matter of fact, you know, I made reference to the presence of the Lord being with you, but that's what He said to Moses. He said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." That is, I hope you have found that over these last 2 weeks of broadcast. I trust that the Lord has ministered these things to you as we've looked into His Word to find it. Man, I hope you have found your place of rest in Him. And as we finish this up today, let me just take a moment. I won't try to go back and recover where we've been for 2 weeks, but if you've missed any of them, go to kcm.org. They're all there for you, absolutely free. You can download them free of charge and get a hold of these things and listen to them again and again. These are good things to put in front of you and in front of your family and make the decision that as a family, we are going to live by our faith in God. Isn't that what Jesus said in Mark 11? The disciples had looked at that tree that Jesus had spoken to and it had withered up, and Peter said, "Look, Rabbi, it worked," basically. And Jesus' response was, "Have faith in God." And when you determine that you're going to be a family that lives by their faith in God, and you couple that with these things we've been seeing from the Word, we've been seeing this resting side of faith. This is a fun exercise sometimes. Just go through the Word, and anytime you find faith, replace it with the word rest and see what happens. See what happens when you hear Jesus say to you, "Have rest in God. Take your rest in God. The just shall live at rest." The just shall live by their rest in Him. Isn't that interesting? Just see what happens to you when you begin to discover the resting side of faith. Now, for all this week, we've been talking specifically about keys to entering into this rest. Began by looking at how, number one, we must be a believer. And if the Word says it, that is good enough for us. That's what we do. When the Word says, "Give and it shall be given," there's my confidence in giving. There's my confidence. That a lot of times people lack that confidence in letting go of a few dollars. I may need that later. But see, I can give and give it rest, knowing that as I give under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, "Give and it will be given." The Apostle Paul said, "By the Spirit of God, that God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." I can rest in that. I can absolutely take my rest in that and refuse worry, refuse to care. Why? Because I'm at rest in His grace. We saw that Jesus said in John chapter 6, when people came to Him and said, "Show us, give us a work, give us a sign that we can believe in." He said, "Well, you've seen Me and you don't believe." And they were talking to Him about the manna that fell out of the sky for the children of Israel in the Old Testament after they had left Egypt. They said, "Show us that." And we saw that these people are just looking for some more of something to eat. Jesus had already, just the day or so before, fed 5,000 people with just a little bit of bread, and they want that again. And Jesus said, "Look, you're looking for the wrong kind of bread. I'm the bread of life. He who feeds on Me will have everlasting life." So for days now, we've been talking about just feeding on Jesus, feeding on His words, feeding on His life, and whatever we see in His Word, whatever we hear Him say, we choose to see that that's our food. That's how we live. You see that? And there's a lot of things, a lot of parallels we could draw in here. Man, if we had time, just do it sometime. Just look at this new day of grace that Jesus introduced. He marked a new era in Matthew chapter 11. It says, at that time, Jesus said. Well, we found in the Greek language, it says at that epochal, that strategic moment. The word epochal meaning the beginning of a new development or era. Jesus ended that old era of living under the pressure of the law, the impossibility it was to live up to the standard of that. He ended that era and he began the era of the good work being completed in him and you getting to rest in what he accomplished. Now just go compare those things sometimes. When you see that you feed on him as the bread of life, now he sustained you, you're at rest in him. It's no longer the law. You remember what Jesus said? This will be interesting to you. Just study this out and see if there's anything in it for you. Jesus said, how many of you, if your son were to ask some bread of you, how many of you would give him a stone? Isn't that interesting? If bread truly represents Jesus and our grace in him, his grace towards us through him, and stone represents that old law, because that law was written on stone. He's saying when you come to the Father and you ask for grace, he doesn't give you law, he gives you grace. Isn't that interesting? I mean, I just see some of these things, and you may say, well, I don't know about that. Well, fine, I don't care. But I see some of these things in the Word, and it blesses me to see that Jesus has generously and liberally given us his grace. Now we receive it by faith. So if he's the meal that we feed on, if we take our seat at the table that he's prepared for us, remember he said, I stand at the door and knock, you hear my voice, I'll come in and we will eat together. I'll dine with him, I'll sup with him. That's covenant talk. We're going to share a meal together. Is that work? Is that something you're toiling over? No, man, there are, between me and you, we are some professional eaters, all right? We know how. Just a few days ago, Sarah and I were on our way to preach a great little church in Pennsylvania, and we stopped along the way at a hamburger joint, and man, I put that burger and fries away professionally. I showed very little to no restraint doing that. Why? Because that's not work. That's the easiest thing to do, just sit down and eat. And that's what Jesus is endeavoring to create a picture of. All I want you to do is come to the table with me, he says, and eat. Feed on me. Feed on my faithfulness. Look that one up. Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord. Rest in him. Do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. We ended yesterday by looking in Luke chapter 10. In verse 38, and I want you to see this again. If you have your Bible, turn there with me and we'll look at it again. Now it happened, Luke 10:38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at the feet of Jesus. What was she doing? She was resting. Mary was at rest, seated at the feet of Jesus. Can't you just picture that? Can't you just picture this woman just come right up to the feet of Jesus and just sitting there? She's not up working. She's not up toiling and striving. She's just sitting there. Allow that seat, that image of a seat, you taking your seat, to paint a picture of rest. She sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. He said, my words are spirit and they are life. Feed on my words. What was Mary doing? She was resting. And she was eating. She was feeding on Jesus. But Martha, verse 40, was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her. She's bossing Jesus. She's telling Jesus what to do. You tell her to come in here and help me. And Jesus answered and said, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. Mary chose to rest. She chose to feed on the words of Jesus. Let me read this scripture to you out of the Message translation. Look at this, Luke 10:38-42 in the Message translation. As they continued their travel, Jesus entered a village. A woman by the name of Martha welcomed him and made him feel quite at home. She had a sister, Mary, who sat before the master, hanging on every word he said. But Martha was pulled away by all she had to do in the kitchen. Later, she stepped in, interrupting them. "Master, don't you care that my sister has abandoned the kitchen to me? Tell her to lend me a hand." The master said, "Martha, dear Martha, you're fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing. One thing only is essential, and Mary has chosen it. It's the main course." I love that. I love that translation. It's the main course, and it won't be taken from her. So Martha was in the kitchen. She was preparing a meal. But like I said to you yesterday, she wasn't the only one in that house that was serving a meal. Jesus was serving a meal. He was serving up everlasting life. He was serving up His flesh and His blood. Literally? No. Mary sat there feeding on Him, drinking from Him, taking it in and being sustained by it. And Jesus said, "This is the main course. This is the main meal. You're pulled away and you're sweating it out over something that doesn't even begin to compare. Don't worry about that. There'll be time for that later. Come in here, sit down, and feed on me." That's what Jesus is saying to her. So we have taken, oh gosh, this is our 10th broadcast now, just to establish these things, establish a picture of rest that we find in the Word of God, and you find it seated at the feet of Jesus. Now, all of this being said, all of this now that we have this understanding of entering into this place called rest, I want to begin to couple with it as we wrap this up, the sides of faith that perhaps you're more familiar with. Go with me to Timothy. I believe we'll go to 1 Timothy. Let's look at that together. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and look at verse 12. It says this, "Fight the good fight of faith." Now, we've been talking about the resting side of faith, and there's something that doesn't quite seem the same. He's saying, fight the good fight of faith. So, Timothy's saying faith is a fight, but in Hebrews, we find that we enter into rest by faith. So, which is it? Is it a fight or is it rest? They don't sound like the same thing. But listen, it's two sides of the same thing. Two sides of the same thing. There's a resting side and there's this fighting side of faith. But I want you to notice how they work hand in hand. The fight of faith, the tenacity, when you get down to that fully persuaded faith, I will not be talked out of this. I refuse to quit on my faith. What are you doing? You are fighting to maintain your place of rest. Scripture says that you have been seated with Jesus. What? You've been what? Huh? Seated? You've been seated? You've taken your seat? Jesus said in Revelation 3, right after He said, "I stand at the door and knock," He said, "To him who overcomes, I will cause you to sit down with me in my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father." That's an image of rest. That's an image of taking your seat next to Him. But now, this fight of faith, there will come a time where you will fight to hold on to this place of rest. You will not let sickness talk you out of the rest that you have in your healing through Jesus Christ. Don't let sickness talk you out of that. Those symptoms of disease, those symptoms of lack, those symptoms that try to rise up in your face, they are symptoms, they are lies to try to talk you out of your place of rest. They are there to try to talk you out of your seat with Jesus. Now, if I were to take this seat right here, and I've been seated with Jesus in heavenly places now, and okay, I'm going to take my place, I'm going to take my rest, but something comes up over here. Oh, and I got, there's some sickness, there's some symptoms that have tried to come on my body over here. The temptation is to get up out of this seat and try to go figure that out. What's going on? I got to fix this. I got to do this. I got to work this out. And you got another problem over here and you got bills that need to be paid. And oh my goodness, what am I going to do? The temptation is to get up out of that seat and try to go figure this out. But out there, you're standing under your own strength. But seated here, you are at rest in Jesus. So what are you going to do? I will fight to maintain my seat. I will fight to hold on to this. And I grab a hold of it, and with everything I've got, I let the word of God fly out of my mouth. I refuse sickness and disease. By His stripes I was healed. My God is the God that healeth thee. The blessing of Abraham belongs to me because Christ was made a curse for me. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Oh, and you just get these things coming out of your mouth. What are you doing? You are fighting to maintain your place of rest. Now, remember I said to you over the last couple of days, we were connecting the dots. And I see this, I see a lot of this going back to the Old Testament. And I want to read to you again some of the verses we read out of Exodus when that group of people brought up to Jesus, they said, you know, Moses made it rain bread. Why don't you do that and we'll believe you? What were they talking about? They were talking about Exodus chapter 16. And won't take time to read the whole thing, but God had commanded them, you collect this manna every day for 6 days and you eat it. But on the seventh day, or on that sixth day, you collect enough for day seven. And the only thing you're allowed to do on that Sabbath day of rest, the only thing I'll let you do is eat. The only thing I'm going to let you do that day is partake of what you've gathered up. Oh, and I hope you see that as clearly as I do. Jesus is the bread of life. He is the bread from heaven. We're not waiting for, you know, loaves of bread to hit the ground out here. No, we've been given words of life in Jesus. And now what you and I are living in is that day of rest when all the work is completed. And what's there left to do but to feed on Him? But there's some interesting things here I want you to see out of the book of Exodus. We read in Exodus 16, verse 21 through 25, where the Lord had said, I want you to partake and eat this bread. Verse 27, it says, now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and laws? Verse 29, see, the Lord has given you. Oh, remember we learned to identify grace. Grace is a gift. He has given you the Sabbath. He has given you rest. Therefore, He gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Listen to this. Oh, this is so good. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. Okay, connect the dots. Are you ready? You and I are living in the seventh day. We are living in the day of rest. Jesus introduced it. He marked it as the beginning of a new era. Come to me and I will give you rest. The day of grace. We're living in that. And in that day, we have been given a place seated next to Him. Do you remember what I quoted to you out of Ephesians? You and I have been seated with Him in heavenly places. That seat belongs to you. He gave you that throne. He gave you that seat to Him who overcomes. That's me. That's you. And God is saying, and quite sternly, might I add, these people had got out of their place on the seventh day to try to collect again, to try to work again. And God said, He said, how long are they going to do this? How long are they going to refuse my commandments? And He said, look, the Lord has given you rest. He gives you enough bread that you can just feed on it. So let every man remain in his place. The Old Testament painting a picture of the day that you and I live in now. Let every man, that's you, that's me, that's our families, that's our ministries, that's our churches. Let every man remain in his place of rest. On that seventh day, you're not allowed to try to get out of this place and go figure things out on your own. In that seventh day, you're not allowed to get out of this place of rest and work to try to prove something to God or try to earn something from Him. We're living in the day when the work's been done and the commandment of God is ultra clear. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. Exodus chapter 31, Verse 15, God reminding them of these things, he says, work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. That was God. That's how serious God takes this seventh day. How does that translate to us now? Well, I've said it to you before, but faith without works is dead. But works without faith is death. When you get out of your place of rest, when you step out of this place, this seat, seated next to Jesus in heavenly places, you step out and you start working for your righteousness, you start toiling over that, trying to measure up. You're on that vicious, sick cycle of trying to measure up to something in and of your own strength without depending on the ministry of the Holy Spirit and without depending on grace. You get outside of that place of rest, there is nothing but death waiting for you out there. You will literally drive yourself into the ground trying to come up with a way to please God when all he said that pleases him is faith. And what is faith? It's rest. It's rest. Without rest, it's impossible to please God. Without you taking your seat of rest next to him and determining nothing is going to move me out of this place of rest. Nothing is going to talk me out of this seat. Nothing is going to distract me out of this place. This is mine and it belongs to me. It was a gift to me from God through Jesus. It's grace. Let me show you one last scripture. Go with me to the book of Acts. And I believe we're going to look at Acts chapter 19. No, let's look at chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, and I want you to see this. Let's start in verse 18. And when they had come to him, he said to them, this is Paul speaking. You know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Listen to what this guy's been through. He's been through tears. He's been through trials. People have plotted to kill him, plotting against him. Now he says, I go bound in the Spirit, not knowing what's going to happen to me. The only thing I know is that the Spirit tells me chains and tribulations await me. But verse 24, none of these things move me. That is the attitude of somebody who will fight to stay in their place of rest. Yeah, I know these things are going on, but I refuse to move out of this place. None of these things move me out of my place of rest. Not tears, not trials, not tribulations. I'm getting so excited, I'm spitting all over the place. None of these things move me out of this place of rest. I have been talking to you and preaching to you for 2 weeks about living in a place called rest. How do you get in? You become a believer in Jesus. How do you get in? You feed on His words. And when you get into that place of rest, you make the determination that by my faith and by the help of the Holy Ghost, I refuse to leave this place of rest. Fight the good fight of rest. Walk by your rest in Him. Have rest in God. Take your rest in Him. This is the resting side of faith. Don't go anywhere. I'll be back in just a moment.
Come to these exciting meetings. A Behind the Mission Weekend with Stephen Kelly Swisher is June 25th and 26th in Lombard, Illinois at the Weston Lombard Yorktown Center. The Copeland Family Meeting in Long Beach, California is July 8th through 10th, 2010. Come and meet the family. George and Terry Pearsons, Stephen Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, and Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons at the Long Beach Convention Center. For more information, go to kcm.org.
Now, by the instruction of the Lord, every Friday on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast is offering day. And this is something that the Lord ministered to my grandfather, Brother Copeland, and he's stayed faithful to it. And so I want to continue on with it today. And I want to look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is a verse I've read to you before, and I know you've heard it before, particularly regarding the offering. But it says this in verse 6, "This I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Now, what we've been talking about here is living in this place of rest, and a big part of that, as a matter of fact, one of the biggest parts of that is finding something in the Word of God and learning to rest in it. And if the Word says it, you can rest in it as truth. More than just fact, it's truth. And if the Word says, if you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully, but it also says this. Now, you can rest in that, but it also says this, purpose in your heart. Whatever the purpose of your heart is to give, do that. It's no good if I'm putting pressure on you. Your offering is no good if you're giving out of necessity, or if you're giving grudgingly because the guy on TV just begging you to give, and if you don't, you're missing God. Hey, listen, if it's pressure, then keep it. We don't care. We're not doing this to try to get something from you. We're doing this to get something to you. That's why we show you these scriptures. And when you come to the place where you can rest in that, now it's time to give. When you're at the place where you say, Lord, your word says, if I sow, I reap. So here it goes. Now you're at rest in it. That's how you know you're in faith, is when you can be at rest. But this goes on to say in verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound to you. We have identified grace as everything that came through Jesus. And all of that coming to you is designed to go through you and be a blessing to the world around you. When your offerings come into this ministry and others, we give thanks for it. Father, I thank you for the tithe and the offering that your people are planting into the kingdom of God, and we believe it's growing and doing your work in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for joining me these last 2 weeks. It's been a privilege and an honor to be a part of these broadcasts with you. If you missed any of them, you can go back to kcm.org, download them there, watch them, get into it, let it be a blessing to you. I know you're going to enjoy it. A little reminder for all of you, this Sunday is Father's Day. You know what? Call your dad. Just say thanks. Just say thanks for everything. Whether you're a new father or an experienced dad, listen, God has wisdom for you. His heart, the heart of a father, he can plant that thing in you. I'm so thankful for my father, my grandfather. Praise God. This is Jeremy Pearson's reminding you, God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase this week's broadcasts on DVD or CD, go to kcm.org or call or write to us today. Be sure to join Stephen Kelly Swisher for Behind the Mission Weekend Chicago, Friday and Saturday, June 25th and 26th at the Weston Lombard Yorktown Center. For all the information on Behind the Mission Weekend Chicago, go to our website at kcm.org.